This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Amy Scott. There's been a lot of conversation since President Biden laid out his big infrastructure plan last week about what counts as infrastructure. The plan proposed $25 billion to build and upgrade childcare facilities. And the White House says more is coming in a second bill Biden will propose in the coming weeks. The childcare industry has been ravaged by the pandemic, affecting the people who work in childcare centers, the parents who rely on them, and of course, the babies and toddlers that need care. Myra Jones Taylor is chief policy officer at 0-3, a nonprofit that aims to improve the lives of infants and toddlers. Dr. Jones Taylor, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we've heard a lot in the past year about families with school-age children, you know, parents managing remote school and juggling their own jobs, or in many cases, actually leaving the workforce. But what has the pandemic meant for the youngest children, babies and toddlers?
You know, we have seen that this has been a tough time for babies and for their families. We know that, you know, what happens in the first years of a child's life is fundamental for everything that happens later. And when families are feeling stressed because of, you know, lack of economic security, that leads to their children's stress. So levels of irritability, not sleeping, regression. So this has really been a tough time for children, babies and their families.
Access to childcare has also been an issue, not just because of people losing their jobs, but because many childcare providers have shut down. How has that affected child development and family security?
Right. Well, you know, so for one, we think about childcare providers are a major engine of economic security. And that means if they close, then the families who rely on them cannot go to work because they can't send their children to a safe environment. And what happens to children is that's a huge disruption. If they've been used to going to see their peers and, you know, beloved caregivers, and that disruption happens, it's very destabilizing for them at a critical time in children's development.
You and I met actually earlier this year, virtually, of course, in a conversation that the Federal Reserve had about racism in the economy. And one thing you said that really struck me was that one way to address racial inequity is through predictable work hours. Can you talk about how that affects young children and particularly children of color?
You know, it's this one thing that we often think about as an issue of labor, but people often forget about the effect that this has on young children. Low-income families are more likely to have highly unpredictable schedules, which is disruptive for a parent, but it also impedes their ability to plan for things like childcare. It also means instability in your paycheck. If your hours go from 31 week to 15 the next, you can't anticipate that, and that means that you have to make some really tough calls when it comes to paying rent and other expenses. Workers of color are 10 to 20% more likely to experience unpredictable work schedules. And so this is layered on top of all the other inequities that we know are built into our system that families and their children face.
There's a lot for babies and families in the American Rescue Plan that Congress passed in March. The expansion of the child tax credit, more funding for childcare. But I wonder if you feel hopeful that more might be done, given that a lot of the struggle that working parents with young children have been facing all along has been more out in the open because of this pandemic.
You know, it's really a shame to think that people don't think about the challenges that so many other families face until it happens to them. I think we have seen people have an awakening to the challenges that so many families have faced pre-pandemic. And it is really exciting to think that children's needs are front and center of these issues. So the child tax credit is a game changer. It is long overdue. We're happy to see it happen. Of course, what we need to make sure now is that it is made permanent. So we have an opportunity with the major infusion that came through the American Rescue Plan, but now we need to make sure that that stays moving forward, that we don't go back to these days when we had failed systems for children already.
Dr. Myra Jones Taylor, she's Chief Policy Officer at 0-3. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.